Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 and verse 32. But I really want to just take that passage and insert it in Genesis chapter 19. But Luke 17, verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking said, "Remember Lot's wife." That's really our subject tonight. Oh, my dear friends, this is one of the shortest, we speak sometimes about short verses in the Bible, but this is one of the shortest, but more than just a short verse, this is one of the strongest and most poignant appeals in the Bible. Really, it is an appeal. It is behind it, there is great compassion. Oh, Lot's wife really stands as a living monument representing every sinner, representing unsaved, unbelieving men and women in this world. You know, sometimes we say that Abraham is the monument of faith, but Lot's wife stands as the monument of unbelief. Oh, how sad it is when someone is so near to salvation. He is so close, almost a Christian, almost saved, but yet so far away from salvation. But you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Remember Lot's wife," as I said from Genesis chapter 19, you can see this is not a frog turned into a prince, but this is a princess turned into a pillar of salt. No fairy tale, no cartoons, no daydream, no fiction. All this is factual. You know why it is factual? You know why is it reality? You know why it is historical? Because the Lord Jesus Christ endorsed it. We read it in Luke chapter 17. But also the Lord Jesus Christ authenticated it, pointing us back to Genesis chapter 19. And there you can see the whole record given to us. Oh, my dear friends, the reality of the princess turned into a pillar of salt is as reality as the fall of man. The fall of man, you remember, in the Garden of Eden, our first parents, Adam and Eve, when God created them, he put them in that beautiful place, pure place in their innocency. But because of their rebellion against God, they have to be expelled from that place. But this is also as real as the flood in the days of Noah. And we remember, because of the evil doing of man, God sent that flood as the judgment against this universe. It was global. It was universal. It was not just local. It was not just in one place or two-thirds of the globe. It was global, everywhere. And only 8 people were saved from that flood. But it is also as real as in the days of Lot. All this is true. People were doing many things there until what came? Fire and brimstones came and demolished, destroyed completely the city. And up to today, those two cities stopped existing. They do not exist anymore because of God's judgment upon them. Oh, I hope you can see when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Remember Lot's wife," this is so important. Why? Why remember Lot's wife? This is the question really we are to ask. But I'm sure you know, when in the Bible it says remember, it is not just about mental assentment or mental agreement. It is about remember and do something about it. That's the reality when the Bible says we have to remember something. So remember and do something about it. But you see, God says, "Remember Lot's wife." Why he didn't say, "Remember Lot"? Lot is an important person. Or remember Abraham, remember Isaac, remember Jacob. But why he didn't say, remember Sarah? We know Sarah is the mother of believers, like Abraham was the father of believers. Why not remember Abigail, Deborah, Rachel, Rahab? Remember different other women, Hannah, Anne, in the Old Testament. Why specifically remember Lot's wife? And if I could just squeeze a little bit this verse, squeeze to just get the smallest zest of it, because there is so much the Lord meant when he said, remember Lot's wife. Now, I have to tell you a few things about Sodom, because the people in Sodom, like our world today, exactly the same. They were in open rebellion against God. We have brought these things upon ourselves. Please don't blame God. I know we live in a world for anything happening. We say, where is God? Oh, God is here. He's in control. But because of our sins, like the city of Sodom in their open rebellion against God, God must judge them. And this pandemic is a semi-judgment from just a tiny bit of God's judgment. The real judgment will be more worse. It will be, no one will escape. We shall all pass under the X-ray and scrutiny of God. And if we have not given and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be doomed and condemned and as the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my dear friends, you know what are the sins God has against Sodom and Gomorrah? We read it in the Word of God in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Those two cities were known for their abomination, their dissolution. They were known for their perverse excesses, excess of everything. Everything. They were also known, one of their greatest sins was gluttony. That's what God had against them. Oh, they were so indulgent in lurid sins. Remember Lot's wife, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Let it be a shriek, a warning to assess the state of your soul. What a warning to our world, my dear friends. This is a great warning to our world, the world in which we live today. But it is also a warning with great compassion. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said there will be a global judgment, a worldwide judgment. And on that day, the judgment upon this world will be worse than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. We read it in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. But now, I want to tell you why we are to remember Lot's wife. I have a few things to put before you. And the first one, as we read here in Genesis chapter 19, look at the advantages she had. So many advantages, so many privileges were given to her. But if I may sum up, just we have a 15 words, I counted them, 15 words biography about Lot's wife in verse 26. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. And you can see there the 15 words of biography given to us about Lot's wife. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's the biography we have about her. We do not know her name. She is nameless. We do not know her age. We do not know even her nationality. We do not know how Lot met her. If they came with Abraham and Sarah from Ur in Chaldees, if she was a Canaanite, if she was a Moabite, if she was a Hittite, if she was from the Philistine, if she was an Egyptian, we do not know. But we know she had two daughters with Lot. And Lot, we know a lot about her husband. She was one with Lot in marriage, but she was not one with him with the Lord. That's the difference we can see when we speak about Lot's wife. Oh, let me tell you a few things about Lot. Lot, he was a righteous man according to the New Testament. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And who is Abraham? Abraham, the father of believers. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham, the one who could speak with God face to face. this is his nephew. And this lady, if we may call her as such, oh, she had so many advantages. You know what advantage she had? She heard the gospel firsthand. She heard so many intercessions made by Lot, made certainly by Abraham. And when you look at Genesis 19, verse 1, 2, and 3, she was visited by angels. Angels visited her. And she was offered a way of escape from the calamity. And Lot, her husband, we read in the New Testament that his heart was vexed about what was happening in the city of Sodom. And I'm sure in his state as a believer, many times he tried to reason with her, to tell her, you need to believe in the Lord. We shouldn't follow the things of this world. Yes, we are trapped in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but as believers, we have to be different. Many times he reasoned with that. You know, another advantage she had, she was even taken out in the city. She did not perish like to become like ashes with other people in the city. But God was so merciful towards her. Oh, but she turned her nose up to God. What a disaster. But my friend, what about you and me? You and me, the air you are breathing, who gave it to you? The food you have eaten today, the roof over your head, who gave it to you? The education you have, who gave it to you? Oh, my friend, the health you have, if you are in good health, who gave it to you? You know, today, just as with a click, everything at your fingerprint, it's all there. At your fingertip, it's all there. You need any kind of food, it will be provided at your doorstep. You need education, look at what is available. Encyclopedias, dictionaries, all knowledge, with everything available, just at your doorstep, just with a click. Who gave you all these things? Oh, my dear friends, just a few weeks ago, you and me, maybe we thought we were the center of the world. But God is humbling us now. We know we are not the center of the world. We are just dust, dust of the dust. But my dear friend, what about you and me? Maybe you have somebody in your home, even now, who is a believer. Your parents are believers, but you, because you are proud, you think, oh, my parents telling me what to do. I know better. Oh, my dear friends, your parents have proved life. They know what is life is all about. They have experienced the harms of life when they are still young. Some of them have found the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why they want to spare you from the damage of life without a Savior. But you think you are the center of the world. Please humble yourself. Listen to them, because they want your good. They want the good of your soul. They don't want you to live just for the here and now, because there is a life to come. But I'm sure you heard the gospel so many times, clearly preached. You have witnessed many prayers. You have witnessed many services in churches. You have witnessed baptismal services. All these things are still nothing to you. Oh, please wake up. It is time to wake up because of the sake of your soul. Is your heart still so hard? Is your heart still dull? From the only one who could make it flexible, who could soften it and make you to be a son of the living God. Oh, look at the advantages you have. The same advantages were given to Lot's wife. But I must tell you a second thing which I could see in this passage when the Lord Jesus Christ says, remember Lot's wife. The second thing, that the simplicity of the message, it was so limpid, so simple, so clear. There was no way to mistake about the message of God. It was so real. Even a child could understand it. You know, it was impossible to mistake this. It was unmistaken, and it contains not only a command, but also a promise. Please allow me to show you the simplicity of God's message to her and to you and me. It's here in Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Look at, it cannot be more clear than this. In verse 17, God says to them, to Lot, his wife and their daughters, he says to them, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, here is the message. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. My dear friend, she had no excuse. She couldn't say she didn't understand the message. But what about you and me? Oh, my dear friends, do you know, can I tell you something? That the message of God has not changed. It is still the same message. You know what is the message? Escape for your life. Actually, the Hebrew word for life there, it is really escape for your soul. For your soul. Run for your soul. Come out from the world for your soul. Run away from this world. There is a perdition and destruction to come. Oh, leave the word and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to earth, to die on the cross of Calvary for every repentant sinner. Even a child could understand this message. Nothing complicated or complex. But let me tell you the third thing. We saw her advantages, but we saw also the clarity of the message God has put before her. It is so simple. Nothing to do but to escape. In the same way, you escape this world by repenting from your sins, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at thirdly, her sin. Her sin is willful. Her sin is active. Her sin is consciously she disobeyed the Lord. But you know what is her sin? Her sin is unbelief, willful unbelief. She was irresolute. She was indecisive, but she was also disobedient. To race away from her little home, nice home, her garden, the things she has left behind, her treasures, her jewelries, her possessions, and so, oh, that was too hard to do. My dear friends, may I tell you from my little experience that God, as I read the Bible, God is very serious about sin. He's very serious about sin. People play with sin, but sin will never play with anyone. You know what the devil says to us, to play with us as if we were in a game? Life is not a game. Life is very serious. He says to us, you know, even if you sin, nothing is going to happen to you. Or he will say to you, the devil will say to you, that after this life, when somebody dies, there is nothing after. What a big lie. That's the biggest deceit that Satan is putting before our universe, men and women today. After death, there is life. After death, there is judgment. That's what the Bible says. You know, Lot's wife, like Pharaoh, when you read in the book of Exodus, when God said to Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh in his pride said, who is the Lord that I must obey him? And the same thing is happening to her. She behaved like Pharaoh. She was dragged physically out of the city. But her heart was still in the city of Sodom. She preferred Sodom for the safety or salvation given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, you know, Sodom, because of its perversity, the word Sodom became a byword for sin. And to use John Bunyan's expression, Sodom is the city of destruction. But she preferred that than to receive salvation. She traded eternal life with a look. She looked back, not in fear. That's what we have to understand. She looked back to Sodom, not in fear, but because she was longing. She wished. She wanted to go back again for what she had left behind. Oh, my dear friends, she disobeyed God. Unbelief and pride, atheism in your heart, thinking that you made yourself, oh, this is the greatest sin a man can commit. There is a God, he made us, and we will be accountable to him. You know, the only look you should make The look behind is to look at your sins. Oh, put them in a bag, put them on a basket, put them on a plate, and bring them all before the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back to your sins with misery, only with misery. That's the only thing you can do in your life. Oh, my friend, look at the fourth thing I want to put before you. Oh, trying is not sufficient. She tried, but we are not speaking about trying. We never say to people, try. The Bible says, do not try, but trust. That is the difference. But you can see, when you read here in Genesis chapter 19, early morning, Lot and his wife, they rose and they left to the city of refuge. And she went with them. She was set on the way to safety. But the problem, she never reached the city of Zoar. She never reached there. And she was destroyed. But what about you? Have you made a good start? Almost a Christian. Almost saved. Almost there. It's like somebody who is saying, we have almost won the game. Or we have almost won the competition. I have almost won the tombola. Oh, you great loser. You have lost everything, actually. Almost doesn't make of anyone a Christian or a believer. Escape for your soul. Almost a winner, but what a great loser. God is not asking us to try. God is not asking us to do our best. He's not even asking us to help ourselves. God helps in salvation those who are not able to help themselves. Be sincere about salvation. Strive to enter, the Lord Jesus Christ said. But you say, not yet, not yet. How long? How long will you delay? The only peace which can give peace to your soul. Oh, this is the day. Let nothing stop you. God provided the only safe and sure and secure way of salvation. You know, the city of Zoar, that city of salvation, of refuge, is a type of the one and only Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. And fifthly, I want to put before you her judgment. Oh, we saw the advantages she has. We saw the simplicity of the message God spoke to her about. We saw her sin. Her sin is unbelief. And willful and conscious unbelief in disobedience about God. But fourthly, we saw also that God is asking us not to help ourselves. Let God do the salvation for us. And he did it on the cross of Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ died. But look at now, because she did not heed to the voice of God, her judgment was sudden, inescapable, and it was unexpected. It was miraculous, and it has never happened before. Do you see what happened to her in verse 26, Genesis chapter 19, verse 26? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Oh, my dear friends, she was not covered with leper. She was not stoned to death. The earth didn't open up to swallow her. But she became a pillar of salt, something never heard of before, unheard of. And the city, up to today, the city was reduced to a salt flat. And we are told by historians and geographers that this is the lowest part place on earth today. What a judgment happening to Lot's wife. My dear friends, as you know, salt speaks about barrenness, unfruitfulness, sterility, barrenness, and deadness. She became a dead monument and a perfect illustration of Proverbs 29, verse 1. Do you know what Proverbs 29, verse 1? I hope this is a warning to any one of us who is delaying. And it says there, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. No remedy for somebody who is delaying. She was lost forever and eternity just outside the city of refuge. But let me close. What about you and me, my dear friend? What about you and me when it comes to salvation? Oh, flee to Christ. You know what Christ became? He became that pillar of salt hanging on the cross of Calvary. You see, it's a pillar also there, hanging on that cross, on a tree, not for his own sins because he is blameless, spotless, innocent. But he was there hanging on that tree. And God poured upon him the judgment, the righteous judgment, which you and me deserve in this life and in the life to come. But you see, what a contrast when we look unto this world. Bible says we die. But when we look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall live. Christ became the city of refuge. He became our Zoar. He died. You know, the city was on a hill. Christ was also crucified on a hill, Mount Golgotha, outside the city. So we have to go to him also outside the city to leave this world and to join him to receive salvation. He paid for our sins at the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, do you see the grace of God in this passage to set you free, but also to set you free from the consequences of sin? That's what Christ does when you come to him. Please don't touch the gate. Don't come nearby. But Bible says, enter into salvation. Enter into the kingdom of God, and you shall be saved. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look into your sins with great disdain, hating them, but at the same time, confess them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. I close. Are you just like the people in the days of Lot? Are you like them? Not thinking about the purpose of life? Are you just like the people in Sodom? They thought this will never happen to us. But you know, what do we read in Luke chapter 17 and verse 28 and 29? Let me read it for you as we close. The people of Sodom thought this will never happen to them. The judgment will never come. But we are told they did eat, they drank, they bought like us, like our world. They sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The judgment of God, almost saved, is lost. Never feel secure, my dear friends, without the Lord Jesus Christ. The benefits of salvation are nothing compared to the pleasures of this world. This world has nothing to offer. Out of Christ, you and me are just like Lot's wife. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are just like Lot's wife. But all you need is to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent from your sins, to believe in him, to trust in him, to yield your life to him, and to obey him. You are safe. As long as you face Christ, you are safe. As you go back home tonight, as you close your computer, as you depart from hearing the preacher tonight, please remember Lot's wife. Look in unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's close our time together by singing our last hymn. Hymn number 374.